The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Attention Hoopers and parents of those Hoopers. Summer's almost here, and that means it's time for the UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley's basketball camps at the University of Northern Colorado. These camps are designed to help athletes improve their game and skills, all led by Coach Smiley and his coaching staff and the players. There's a player development camp, a shooting and scoring camp, and more. All the fun begins in June, so register now while you still have time. Go to SteveSmileyBasketballCamps.com.
All right, it is time for the two-man game podcast. Coach Steve Smiley of the UNC Bears, he's like the Jokic of the podcast, and I guess that would make me Jamal Murray, Coach, but...
You're Jokic.
Murray could get traded here.
Well, you're Jokic. I'm all these guys. I'm Murray, Gordon. Everyone's on the table except for Jokic. So everyone on the table on the two-man game is on the table except for the guy that runs the two-man game. You're Jokic.
I don't think it would work, though. If we traded Steve Smiley, this would just be the man game with me talking UNC Bears without the one man that really needs to talk UNC
based
Bears.
Based off the title, the two-man game doesn't work without two-man. Yeah. So I do agree. But, everything's on the table for the Nuggets. Everything's on the table, you know, at KFK, other than, you know, the guy that runs at Brady. So, you are Jokic.
I want to take that compliment, but that's tough. That's tough for me.
It's hard.
Speaking of great sports, I don't know if did you stay up and watch the Avalanche last night by chance? I don't know where hockey, if you're much of, because basketball, hockey, completely different sports.
You didn't know the pod was going to go in this direction, but since you opened the door, we're going to go this way. No, I did not. Now, I watched the highlights this morning when I was working out, but... I did say it. I haven't done a ton of really watching the NBA stuff recently, but it's because we've just been recruiting and trying to fill our roster and trying to take a little time off from just deep dive analytics. But the last two nights, I started diving back more into let's watch Spurs and the T Wolves, and so last night I watched Cleveland and Detroit. It was a great end of the game. So
that's been a heck of a series.
Get it back in. Anyways, here's the deal. I did not see the Avalanche, but. There was a bird, an actual bird. I'm trying to go to bed, man. So it's this is how we get into these things. So I'm hanging out with the wife. We're in bed, and the kids sometimes come down. So my daughter and Amanda come down, his girlfriend, and hang out, and just talk a little bit before we go to bed or whatever. So they're in there, they leave the bedroom. Okay, I'm reading. My wife reads a little bit, and I do a lot of my reading in the morning, but then I do the second phase at night, just a little bit, just to try to. I'm trying every cheat code to try to sleep better, right? So, that's, get off the screens. Okay, man, I got the red light therapy. I got all the stuff, man. Mm. But anyways, so they leave the room. They shut the door to the room. At that point, no one's watching TV in the living room because, the speakers are too loud in our room. So, you want to go watch, go to the basement, right? But they leave the room. My wife and I are just kind of hanging out. And all of a sudden, I think it was Matt's dad. And I'm he's like, Dad, come over here. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to cool the engines down. And so the wife and I walk out there. What? They're like, there's a bird in the house. What do you mean there's a bird in the house? Apparently, when they opened the door, now we had a wreath, like a Christmas wreath on our front door. Apparently, a bird had built a nest behind the wreath. Now, is it reef or wreath?
Wreath? I think you're wreath. Yeah, wreath. You're good.
I feel
good
about that.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
Okay, so when they opened the door, the bird... the door that we opened the wreath, the bird nest opened into the house, if you can feel me. And the bird shot into the house, flew right past Madden's head. There's a bird in the house. So now it's like, hey, I'm like, whoa, oh my gosh. I'm like, this is not what I want to be dealing with, pushing 10 o'clock at night. So I'm like, where's the bird? They're like, it's upstairs. And so I have this staircase, this kind of open area, staircase into the office. And the bird's in the light in your office, but it's all this open area, right? It's kind of like a loft. Everything kind of, so I'm like, oh my gosh. So I walk up there. Sure enough, there's a bird.
Was it a little guy or big guy?
No, it was the mom.
Okay.
It was the mom. So it wasn't like the child bird. So anyways, the bird's there. And they're like, what are we going to do? I'm like, they're like, let's open a window. I'm like, no, there's a screen in the window. Like, what are we doing? So I'm like, Avery, give me a broom. So Avery doesn't give me a broom. She gets me one of those Swiffer things where if you push the button, all this like chemical sprays out right on the floor. I'm like, so she's like, hey, will this work? Yeah, this will work. So she gets me this thing and I grab it and all of a sudden there's chemicals. I'm like, this is getting worse and worse. Anyways, we turn the light. So there's a light where the bird's kind of hiding it, and it's gonna like get really hot, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to turn the light on. The bird jumps around, gets out of there. Now the bird's like on these like windows, and it's like, well, what are we doing? So like we open the door back downstairs where the bird, like, hey, we're just going to have to get this thing kind of, you know, pushed out this way, which is impossible to do. So now there's a door open. I'm like, I hope there's no more birds that fly in the house, right? Like, this is a new experience, you know? And the bird flies out, and we're like, all right, so let's scare it. So it flies all the way across to this other window. So, like, we have one of those high, like, the living room, it's a high, it's like 20, 30 feet. It's up there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's this way, like, you can't reach anything. So the bird flies the other area. So then it's like, okay, so what do we do? So my wife's throwing pillows at the bird to get it to move around or whatever it is. I open a window in this like office area, this loft there. I open a window. There's a screen, which I figured, which I've never done before. So I'm like the worst handyman. So I pop open the screen and just dump it to the – I can't get it inside. So it just dumps like 20 feet down. I'm like hoping it breaks the screen, whatever. We're throwing pillows at birds, this, that. The bird flies back over. So the bird is on top of the window that is open with no screen. We have a chance. But it's on top of it, just sitting on the sill.
So close.
It just moves into my bookshelves. I love reading books. It moves into my bookshelves. Man goes, I got an idea. Give me the blankets. Grabs these blankets. As the bird flies into the bookshelf, he runs over and swallows the bird in the blankets. Not a pillow. I'm like, this is amazing. He's like, all right. I'm like, throw it out. So he throws it out into the open, into the wild, because we've opened this. Again, this is upstairs.
Oh, this is great.
It's amazing.
Yep.
So long story short, we got the bird out of there. I didn't see the abs. What happened?
Well, I mean,
be careful what you ask for.
The beauty of these podcasts, too, we get to learn that Coach Smiley is just like
we're
us.
Another guy.
We're dealing with, we're all dealing with birds and mice or whatever.
That's a whole different conversation. But we got the bird out, and
that's a battle. That's a battle, right? Especially with high ceilings.
He throws the bird out. The bird flies. There's no damage to the bird. Okay, and it wasn't like one of those baby birds where if you touch the baby birds, the mama can't mess. Like,
yeah, I've always heard that. You're not supposed to touch the baby birds.
So it was a blanket. He got the bird out. The bird flew away. We shut the window. We're not getting the screen. The screen's like literally on my lawn. I'm like, who knows if the screen's broke, whatever. The only downside is today, like the wreath. So I was like, okay, I'm going to take the wreath. We're nature-y and everything, but like I got to get rid of this wreath. So she tossed it out into the lawn as well so we can – I don't know what the status is on the wreath and the bird's nest. I don't know.
Well, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Bird's gonna have to build a new nest.
Yeah, you're gonna have to go somewhere else.
We're not dealing with this and over.
Do you know if it was a robin or not? Because those things are the moms are not nice. They're not nice. They're vicious.
I'm not real nature that way. I mean, it was.
Did it have like a red bottom?
Didn't notice that. No. Pretty much gray.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what it was. I only know robins because we had those situations where they would nest on our like. In our patio, and the moms were freaking out all the time.
Yeah, didn't notice any coloring on the bird. It was pretty basic, pretty dull, pretty gray. Felt bad for the thing, but it's like, we got to get this thing out of the house. Like, kids are not going to bed. This thing's flying around because both their bedrooms are upstairs. So now they're like, I'm not going to bed. Like,
you could have had a pet. You could have had a smiley pet, another one. I don't know if you have pets now. You have pets, right?
I got two crazy dogs.
Probably wouldn't have done well with
luckily,
the bird.
The dogs didn't really know because like, they're nuts. So luckily, they didn't really notice what's going on. So anyways, how we start
these things. Dude, I love those stories. Those are my favorite because we get junk like that that happens all the time.
It was a true story.
Oh, I love it. Well, the Avs were down 3-0.
Unbelievable.
Early in the first, they were down 3-1 with 4 minutes to go in the game. Come back, tie it, force overtime, and win. Close out the series.
I love it.
It's crazy.
So, I did see, like, you know, they won on SportsCenter today, and then I looked at it, like, they won the series. It's like, we're into what, the West Finals?
Yeah,
or are we in the Stanley Cup?
Now onto the Western Conference Finals. It'll either be Vegas or Anaheim. So
we're the one seed.
Yeah. So home ice. I want to ask you that too.
I love it.
I'm a football basketball guy. That's for the most part. Those are the topics that decorate the show, whether it's pro or college. But I do, and I didn't grow up a diehard hockey fan. I liked hockey. They had two lockouts in 10 years in the early 2000s.
That's right.
And I think that kind of pushed me away from hockey. Now, obviously, I try to talk all Colorado sports, so the Avalanche are going to be a part of that.
For sure.
I don't know the game like I think I know basketball and football, so it is a little more difficult. How is it like for a basketball guy, diehard basketball guy like you? Is hockey like a foreign language to you, or do you kind of find yourself because there's a lot of similar concepts?
I enjoy it. I it's almost to me like baseball. Like, I love going to a game. Now, I haven't been to a game probably in 5 or 8 years, but I've been to a couple Avalanche games back when they won it with Wah and Sack. It's like that was the glory.
Oh, they
time.
Were just yeah.
So I that was when I was very like kind of high school, college, great times. So yeah, big Av supporter, but I just don't watch it that much. At the end of the day, you know what would probably – this is interesting. What would spike my interest in it more is, like, I've really grown my love of, you know, people call it football, but soccer.
Soccer, yeah.
But, like, the international stuff and, the Champions League and things like that and the Premier League. But a lot of that was based off of, like, some of those documentary shows. Like, Amazon had that – I think it was called All In or whatever. And they would follow these teams and they'd follow, you know, I don't know, Man City, Man U, Real Madrid, who knows. And when you get behind the scenes and like learning some of the coaches and some of that stuff, I get like Alex Ferguson. Like, so like I've read his book things like fine, unbelievable. And then the other guy was Pep LaGuardia. So like soccer, you know, phenomenal stuff, right? But a lot of my interest got piqued during what some of those kind of all access behind the scenes thing. It's the same thing with Netflix with golf with Full Swing. Have you watched that?
I haven't watched it. I probably should because that's another sport I need to figure out.
It's so cool. You know? Like it's behind the scenes with, you know, Rory McIlroy. And like, I love those things. But hockey, I haven't seen any. I'm not saying it, but I've never seen any of those things. And mainly they're on Netflix and Prime. But I love watching those kind of sports behind the scenes things. And so, like, I just don't know hockey to that real bitter level. Even racing. I'm not a big NASCAR F1 guy, any of that stuff. But when the F1 show came out on Netflix, it was probably 6 or 8 years ago, the first, I think it was called Need for Speed or something. It is such good watching. I watched like 3 seasons of it, and you learn more about Lewis Hamilton, all these different guys. Like, this is amazing, right? Max Verstappen. Like, you learn about these stuff. So then when the F1 movie came out with Brad Pitt, and they linked some of those guys into it, I was like, I know that guy. So I just don't, I'm not connected into the hockey world as much. I'd watch it for sure. I love it. I love the stories, but like, I don't know the behind-the-scenes storylines as much.
Yeah, well, and even watching, like, the analyst, you know, in between intermissions analyze the game, they'll even say things like, well, I can't really comment on the defense here because I don't know who's aside. Like, we say that in football, kind of. Sometimes we say in basketball. But even hockey, here's the thing with me. What I love about football and basketball, there's a story every time down the floor, down the court.
Sure.
For me.
Sure.
And I know hockey fans, soccer fans are probably going to say, Brady, there's a story. Even though it's 1-0, there's still stuff going on. And I appreciate that and I get that. I'm starting to get that a little bit more on the hockey side. But for basketball, I can watch the UNC Bears and I can see Quinn Danker take the ball down the floor, get a screen, you know, Brock Wisney sets a screen, whatever. We go down, maybe you miss the shot, but there's a battle down there. There's an offensive rebound. There's a defensive rebound. What, you know, outlet, transition play. There's enough each time down the floor for me where I'm like, something happened. There was a result every time.
Yeah.
The thing with me with hockey and I guess soccer too is I understand that, hey, that was a great shot on goal. That was a hell of a save. But there's... sometimes for me, it's like there's just not enough venom. Football might not have a score, but, you know, your running back had 20 yards on that series, or there was an interception or something like that. That's where I've always had a harder time, really, I think, not only just really understanding the game of hockey compared to the other two.
Well, I guess, you know, for me too, going back to the soccer thing, you know, my son played it for about 4 years, you know, the youth ages, but then my daughter got really into it. She was in, like, the competitive world.
So that makes it easier,
too. So then I'm like, watch, so like in that stage of my life, like watching her trying to learn and understand. My wife played soccer in college, so like the soccer thing, but like I've never been around hockey in that capacity. I've never had a hockey kid. One of my buddies, he lives up in Timnath now, and we played together and coached together, Matt Hammer. His kids are into hockey, and so he's learning the hockey stuff. And so like it's interesting, like I just don't know it that well, but I think like, you know, the flow of it and the comparisons to all these sports, there's so many things that layer over. I will say this, like hockey, it has to be the hardest. And I have like so much respect for those dudes. You have to skate, which is not easy to do. You have to skate and control a puck, which cannot be easy.
They make it look so easy.
Yeah, you got to skate, control a puck, and someone's trying to kill you on another team.
Yeah.
That can't be – like, it has to be the hardest thing to do. And it's so much fun to watch in Purdy. If you're down there and by the ice, it's cold. It's pretty cool.
It's crazy. Watching last night, I mean, Nathan McKinnon makes one of those goals where the puck goes right over the goalie's head.
I saw that highlight.
In the corner.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that's possible.
The margins are thin.
How do you – like you said, it's like there's traffic going on there, and you have to be able to slow all that traffic down and hit this perfect shot. And I know there's a lot of tip-ins and things like that, but what McKinnon had last night, how? I don't understand. So it was
best
a wild
in the world.
Game.
Best in the world. Like those guys were the best in the world, right? So it's fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's move over to the basketball side.
Sure.
Every single week, Coach, I joked with Coach Lamb about this yesterday on Football 52. It's like there's either a new thing that's going to happen in the NCAA, or there's a new idea about what should or could happen in the NCAA. One of the latest that's maybe sneaking through that not a lot of people are talking about is the idea of men's college basketball going from halves, first half, second half, to just doing the tradition. I guess we call it traditional, like the NBA, NCAA women's, one quarter, two quarter, three quarter, four quarter.
Yeah.
I don't know how real that is. But I think that that's one of the things that makes college basketball, men's basketball, kind of unique is having the halves. So what are your thoughts on that? If we were to get there?
100,000% in favor of changing to four quarters.
Really?
Yeah, we are the only, I'm sure there's something wrong with this, but like we are the only, I think, higher level college pro. And a lot of it's like FIBA. They're the only ones that do halves. And yeah, it makes it unique. But in the sense of like, I would also be in favor too, you know, in the rules world of like, okay, if you have a timeout, you can call it to advance the ball, which is the same with college women's basketball, but it's the same with the NBA. You know, that's where kind of coaching comes into play. It's like, okay, there's 4 seconds left. And not just the end of the game, but the end of the half, right? Now, if you're at quarters, this could happen 3 or 4 times a game as opposed to once or twice. Mm. And it right now happens no times because you can't advance the ball. If you added in 3 or 4 opportunities to advance the ball, right? Well, now you're strategizing. Do I hold on this time or do I not? Like, there's different things that go into this stuff too. But like, that's where coaching, like, you know, the end of the game sideline, you see these crazy things. You never see like the end of the game in the NBA where the guy catches it 90 feet away, take one dribble and pray and just throw it up there. Like, it happens every now and then. But that's because they can advance the ball. Burn a timeout, advance the ball. You could do a whole cool amount of things with 2 to 3 seconds in a half court. In the full court, now, like it's hey, we're going to loop through, catch, take one dribble, pray. But in the half court, there's some real strategy. We can't do that because we can't advance the ball. And then if you add, you know, you add on to that idea of the quarters, going back to your question, I would love it. I think it would be great because it would change the flow of a lot of things. It would change strategy. The idea of 2-for-1s, right? Right now, you only attack a 2-for-1 once a game, but if you had quarters, that's 3 times a game. It triples the amount of times you try to get the 2-for-1 idea. It's huge. So I think that that would be great from a strategy coaching perspective, but two, like we are the only, and I think, again, I'm sure I'm screwing this up, but from what I know, we're the only higher level, you know, post high school level, and even high school at this quarters, but right? But we're the only level that doesn't do quarters. And you make a good point.
It's
unique and it makes it different. But like to me, I just think, you know, players coming in from all over the world, players coming in from high school, everyone's coming in on quarters. Now we got to go to halves. I don't agree with it. I would rather do quarters.
How realistic do you think it is that they would change?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think every 2 years they have rules committees and stuff. I haven't seen anything official or anything. It's always talked about.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think most people would be in – it's the same thing. Like, well, how did the shot clock get changed from 35 to 30? This isn't one of those rules years. And then it'll be like, well, should the shot clock go from 30 to 24? I don't know about that. 30 seems great to me. But I think the biggest obvious glaring thing that most coaches would say on the men's side is like, let's get to quarters.
Yeah, and like when I say, because when I was growing up, you know, I was primarily more of a pro guy. I liked to watch the pro sports. I didn't get into college sports probably until I was in high school. And then I started to kind of dabble and like more. Once I got up here, I fell in love with college sports and getting to know your program closely. That certainly helps. But I used to be very much of the mindset, you know, for college football, the rules should be the same in the as the NFL. Like if you go down, you're not down unless you were contacted to go down. You know, in college football, obviously their knee touches the ground, they're down.
Yeah.
So I was always the guy that's like, same with basketball. I used to very much think, yeah, four quarters. Make the game as close to the pro game. You're still keeping all of your fun, all the fun things we love about college sports.
Yeah, I don't.
But if the rules are somewhat similar, and you're the only one that's doing it, I used to really press hard on that. Like,
and the high school game.
Yeah.
Think about it. The high school game and all the international guys, they're playing FIBA. So everyone that's flowing into college, okay, is playing quarters, right? Everyone is. What not everyone's doing yet, like in the great state of Colorado, which is finally they're changing it, is they're finally adding a shot clock in high school.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're trying to get the best college product and then eventually the best professional product, right, doesn't it make sense that we all have the same kind of structure in the sense we're all playing quarters, we're all playing shot clock? That's what FIBA is. That's what, you know, all these European guys that come over, they're awesome, right? The Australian guys, they play so well, and they're playing this way. Okay, go to the shot clocks, right? So in high school, the top club circuits, the EYBL, the Under Armour, the Adidas – they started implementing shot clocks a few years ago. Tremendous advantage for the kids that were able to play in those circuits, right? Because now they're learning to play shot clocks, at least in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing my Colorado teams, and I'm using my son as an example. He's never played a shot clock in high school. So you stall it out the last 3 minutes of the game. That's not basketball in our world, right? So you expect these kids to get to college that have never learned to keep playing possession after possession because there's no shot clock. But they at least got that experience in the club world if they played on one of these circuits to play with shot clocks. It's a huge deal. If you've never played a shot clock and you show up in Division I, Division II, whatever it is, and you expect to, like, that's a totally different mindset. Keep playing, keep playing. There's a minute left. Okay, let's just stall. You can't stall. There's a shot clock.
Yeah.
So these things, I don't understand why we wouldn't standardize not just the professional down to college, but the upflow from the high school, right, and the youth ages to have quarters, which they do, to have shot clocks, which some do, some don't in high school. They do in FIBA. Those kids have been playing with a 24-second shot clock since they're 8 years old.
Yeah.
And they're more advanced. They just are. So, like, why don't we just get up with the time so that, you know, the shot clocks and stuff get to college? Now we need to handle the college thing to get synchronized with not just FIBA, but the NBA, but the high school, but the women's game. They already do it. We're the only ones that don't do it.
Do you know what the history is?
I have no idea.
Of that? Because I would just be curious. Because did women's used to be halves? Is that?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know.
I just, who thought? Question. You know, it's like, hey, high school does it this way. Yep. You know, everybody across the world is doing it this way. But we're going to do halves.
Yep.
I don't know if it was just, hey, let's try to carve it out and make something our own. It's truly unique. And it is unique.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you're right. I kind of go back and forth on, I like the uniqueness of it, and it's still such a fun game. You know, the product is still very good.
That's right.
But would it make it that much better if it's actually closer to what the pro game
That's
is?
That's right. I totally agree. So, like, yeah, I don't know when you really look at it. But yeah, it's just baffling to me that, like, I would be fully in favor of getting to quarters for so many reasons. First, you know, synchronizing high school to college to pro for more strategy from the coaching perspective, more two-for-ones. Boy, you know, high school, they changed. They went to the FIBA rules of, like, there's no more one-on-ones in high school. It was like, hey, 5 fouls in a quarter, you get right to a double bonus. Totally changes things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like the one-on-ones. Then maybe does that go away? I'm not even sure on the women's side. This is where you – I don't know all these rules on the women's side, but, like, do one-on-ones get tossed out? Who knows?
Yeah.
But, like, those are things we have to look at.
Yeah. Well, and I'd be curious. Again, I think it was a post from Ross Dellinger, and that guy is, like, he just lives this stuff
because
day there's something. I mean,
something.
He can make a – he's made a career of just covering changes or potential changes.
That's right.
In the NCAA. Does it ever get exhausting seeing all this stuff? Because now football and basketball – there's a new thing or a new idea, especially it seems like now more than ever.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
more things being thrown out there.
So much like the, you know, the NIL and the portal and the rev sharing. And it's like, yeah, it is exhausting. But I do think too, like we always say, like my thing is like, you know, 10 years, 15 years from now, someone's going to look back to this era. It started with COVID and then, you know, and the guys get more years of play and like this and that. Now you can pay these players. And someone's going to look back and do the Harvard, you know, business case study. And what a phenomenal time to live in. It's frustrating. It's disruptive. But it's also like, it's not stale. You know, right? Like, you better be on your toes. You better figure this stuff out or you're going to get left behind. So that world is kind of fun.
I would be curious to look this up, Coach, and just, I know, how many Division I college basketball teams are there? There's a lot,
365,
right?
365, I think 366 next year, I believe.
I wonder, of those 365.
Yeah, call it. That's always a safe number.
How many coaches, brand new coaches, first-time head coaches,
sure.
of a Division I school like you were at in 2020. Okay. I wonder how many of them that was their first year. I would be very interested to see.
In 2020 or?
Yeah, in 2020. Because your story, I mean, you have, I think for many guys, like the guys that started in 2020, you guys have been pioneers.
Yeah.
Because you entered on a weird time in life, but also that was the time when we started changing everything around college sports, and it happened rapidly.
So there's on average in the coaching carousel, the cycle in Division I, on average about 50 jobs open a year.
Okay.
About 50. But that doesn't mean they're all new coaches.
Yeah. They could have been somewhere else.
They could be somewhere else. And
so theoretically, it could be.
I don't know. 20,
it could be like 20.
20, 25.
It could be like 20 guys that got their start in 2020. You're one of them. And
first-time Division I head coach.
First-time Division I head coach.
That's a safe number, 20.
You guys ought to start a club or something because, like, everything changed.
Let's get on the AI. And here's what's crazy. So, like, I have – outside of like actual basketball stuff, like I'm doing my film study right now, which is great. My film, my off-season study, which is studying the Final Four in the National Championship. I'm studying the European Basketball Champions League Final Four. I can't go like 90 games, but I want to just get a taste of all the stuff. Game 4 and 5 in the NBL Australian Championship, which was the Sydney Kings in Adelaide. The EuroLeague hasn't played yet. They actually play next weekend for the Final Four. So I love watching all this stuff. It's a big – because we like want to play like pros. So like what are the trends? That's like the actual like off-season study outside of like I do all the stuff with our team too. But my personal off-season goals, you're like, what are you talking about, Smiley? Here's my deal. Instagram and AI.
Mm.
Now, Instagram, you're going to laugh. I'm on Instagram now. I've never posted one time. My daughter created my Instagram, and I did it for one reason, because I don't want more distractions in my life, right? X and Facebook, that's it. Like, and I, you know, repost all the stuff, whatever it is, all positivity. But I don't want to be on another platform and staring at stuff. I want less distractions, more time to, you know, actually do human stuff.
Yeah.
Read, study, you know, whatever it is. But the problem is all these kind of initial recruiting clips are all dumping on Instagram because that's where all these kids are living now. So staff will sit in like on our little, you know, Buscando Bears thread. What does that mean? Chasing bears, recruiting, right? We have our internal Buscando Bears thread. And they'll say, hey, check this kid out. Boom, it's his Instagram. I can't see it. So like,
So my
wife, I'm like, hey babe, I forwarded on my wife to her account. So I am on Instagram. I have 12 followers. I told my daughter who she created my account. I said, I don't want to follow anybody.
Oh, I was just getting ready to
search. I'm like, no. So now, like, yeah. I have, like, before I cut her off, like, in, like, 12 seconds, she's like, I'm like, no, I don't. This is not what I want. But I have all these random followers. I have, like, 250 followers. But I've never posted. This is great. This is, like, the weirdest thing ever. So, like, Instagram was one of my goals. And maybe at some point I'll get a little bit more active, you know, posting some stuff. I think you can link Facebook to Instagram.
You can, yeah.
Which would be great because it's just all the bear stuff I send. So
yeah, it would all go right there.
I need to figure that out. But okay, that's one thing. Why am I bringing this up? The other thing is AI. Very far behind the times in AI, and ChatGPT and Claude and this and that. So I just downloaded the three most – do you know what the three biggest – AI platforms are right now in terms of productivity on the Apple App Store. Do you know what they are, Brady?
I don't know what they are.
Yeah. It's ChatGPT.
I was going to say ChatGPT.
Claude. Claude is from, I believe, Open. Big deal. It's huge.
Okay.
The third one is Google Gemini. So I downloaded the top three, okay, and I put them in this folder. I'm trying to learn just a little bit, right? And I'm just learning, how do you do this stuff? Why did I bring that up? Because you said maybe there's 20 people. I bet we could get on AI and say,
oh, yeah.
What are the 20 first, and we're going to do this when the pod's over in a couple of minutes.
Yep.
We're going to get on these and we're going to test this. Say, what were the, what were all the first time Division I head coaches that got hired in the year of 2020? We're going to do this when it's done.
Okay.
We can't do it now. It's a waste of time.
I want to find that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I think that AI would be.
It's a great AI thing, well, right?
And it would be great for an AI thing, an easy thing, without having to go through every single school and figure out.
This is the point of AI, right? I guess.
Yeah.
But I got to get better at this stuff.
Robots scare me. But yes, that would be fun to look at because you guys have some interesting stories. Every coach, I think, is interesting in their own right. But you and I have talked about that a lot. Just you jumped in during COVID.
Yes.
And then as soon as COVID is dissolving, now we got NIL. Transfer portal rules are changing. They're getting more loose.
Yeah.
And then the NIL thing has only expanded.
Right.
Now we've got the, what are we calling it? The
Rev share.
Yeah, Rev share. We've got Rev share opt-in. the numbers you the information you were bringing up at the basketball and banter. I mean,
it's crazy.
Those are way different meetings than your donors or boosters used to go to, you know, seven years ago.
Yeah,
and now they're all trying to evolve with this too.
That's right.
So it is. You're not only trying to learn it these last 6 years. You have to also. For your people, you know, your supporters, they got to learn it too because they got to know what you're dealing with because it can't just be the same stuff that they were doing over the time.
And not just to sympathize, but like, hey, this is where we've got to grow this thing. This is where it's going.
This is the reality of what we're competing with.
And like, you know, when you get to the rep show in the NIL stuff, it's like, hey, look, like, yeah, we've been able to put together really good rosters based off of very, very, very minimal money. That sounds great. But – you know, what's the thing? Assuming the past will be what the future is, that's not reality.
Yeah.
Teams in our league are raising more money, and so are we, and trying to find ways to do it creatively in-house, cutting roster spots out, which we're doing. We're going from 16 to 14. We're hitting the donors up as much as we can, but they got to help us out, too, with our budget. But like, hey, would you consider donating to this? But then, too, can we play some games, some money games, to take that money and put it into that pool, too? All hands on deck, because if we want to keep finding ways to get those banners up there and win the Big Sky and chase the March Madness dream and, you know, be in consideration for an NIT and which was crazy. Like, I didn't realize we had a better profile to go to the NIT than some teams that actually got in. I didn't realize that until the Big Sky meetings.
Really?
Now, Portland State, I was rooting for those guys because they won the championship, right? But they didn't have quite that 125 metric, which is how we got in a year earlier. You have to win a regular season championship and get a 125 metric, which dumps all this stuff in to be an auto bid in there. It used to be, hey, you win championship, but you don't get to March Madness, you get it. That's not what it is anymore. You have to hit this 125. They didn't hit that, but they still were really good, like 136, and we were like 142. There was a team, South Alabama, got in like almost at 200, which was criminal.
Mm.
I didn't realize that until the Big Sky meetings. But for us to keep chasing these dreams and chase championships, you want to beat CU. You're right. Like, you want to, hey, that was so much fun in Moby a few years ago, beating Coach Nico and those guys with David Roddy. You want to, like, we have to have rosters for this, and it's hard to do. So, yeah, you have to find a way to keep, you know, teaching and spreading the gospel without spreading fear or like demands. Like, hey, this is what it is. This is where we got. I don't want to be, you know, at a place where we don't have a roster where we can win. We got to find ways to get creative with this. So it's all hands on deck. Well, and it kind of binds the community together too, right?
And I think that's, you know, what we talked a little bit of a recap of the basketball and banter stuff. Like, that's a great opportunity for you to sit down with people that love this program, that believe in the program, but to also understand where you're coming from. And it's not just an email of, hey, we need this.
Yeah.
I think that's so important, being able to hear it from you and mm-hmm. hear about all those. Because there's some that get it. There's some that follow this all the time. You know, it's funny because I'm sitting there, all the stuff you're bringing up, I'm like, yeah, those are fun topics to talk about. Those are things, you know, and we live in that world. You especially live in that world. But a lot of these boosters, they live in the world of what was the score last night. You know,
for sure.
Who's the stud that we're bringing in? Sometimes I'm not like knocking them. But sometimes it's not a what was the journey like to get that guy here?
Yeah.
You know, what's that process?
And that's why we try to do things like banter to spread awareness. I've got a very basic lunch with two of our top donors today, and they couldn't get to banter. So I'm like, hey, man, let's go have lunch. And so I can kind of I'll bring the laptop. I don't know if we'll pull up the PowerPoint or just kind of talk, but I'll have it. And just so we can talk about, hey, this is where the roster is. Like, these are critical talking points. This is what this guy was, you know, Langston Reynolds. Like, this is where it's going, man. So, like, the more people are aware and are knowledgeable about things than anything in life, right, the more they want to, okay, I get it. Like, I didn't realize that, you know. So I take a tremendous amount of responsibility. Like, I've got to find ways to spread the word on this stuff so people know. And I think it's the biggest thing. And then they can decide if they can help or not. But
the insight, and again, you know, I know this wasn't like an open thing. You know, obviously I loved being there.
Yes.
But I'm not acting in that mode. I took a ton of pictures.
Oh, yeah.
But none of those are going out to social media. Those are just for me because some of the information and how you're using that to debrief everybody,
right,
to give that to for them to have the tools and the knowledge needed. I thought the way that all came together was really fascinating.
Yeah.
So I thank you for that, because that was, to me, that's what the business of college basketball really is about.
Crazy information.
It's
crazy
nuts,
information.
Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coach, I want to get to before we break. I guess we're not doing segments. This isn't. Yeah. We're not doing halves. It's not college basketball.
Hey, so I was listening to this podcast the other day. It was a great podcast. It was the GM for Illinois, but they would lace these ads in.
Yeah.
Because you think about like a podcast, like how do you – like I listen to Bill Simmons show or Tim Ferriss or whatever it is. And so like when the ads hit, you just 30 seconds, and you just skip them. Well, these guys would be talking and like just like you and I are – and all of a sudden, boom, we'd go right to an ad. And it was so distracting.
Yeah.
I get so mad and I'd go 30 seconds, but it was only like a 10-second ad and I had to go backwards. So yeah, there's no ads from what I know.
Yeah, well,
at least not in the middle of this.
We've got the beginning ad, which again –
which is great.
Renaissance Insurance, Ryan, he allows us to do that. So
that
we're able –
great.
That way we don't have to fill this thing up with 4 million ads.
The creative thing of like the ad where you and I are just talking and out of nowhere this ad just it bombarded me like that bird bombarded me last night.
Yeah.
It's anxiety.
It's jarring. Yeah.
It was jarring.
Yep.
That's a great word.
100%.
Yes.
Coach, just kind of a quick update here.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a little bit about I thought I saw some news on Mr. Campbell, on Coach Campbell.
Ah, DC, man. Yeah, so like roster and staff, like this is the time of year we're chasing, right? So even before we get to Coach Campbell and the staff, nothing, because I do think the last time we talked, we had officially signed Manning Sharif
yes.
to get to 13. So we're still 13,
still
hoping in the next day or so to get the final spot filled. To get to 14, we're going to carry that. So there's real no updates there. But then, yes, the staff, my guy DC, man. DC came in 3 years ago. The position started for him as like, hey, player development, live in the gym, some video stuff, grow from there. And we had focused that spot, which we're focusing that spot again on like someone that's really good on the court with the guys. And I'm telling you, DC basically eventually just outgrew the job. He did a phenomenal job. We've won 64 games since Coach Campbell's been here. And make no mistake, he's been a huge piece of that. And started growing the job, more video, a little bit of scouting, a little bit of recruiting. He was the guy that helped us get Isaiah Hawthorne, which was first-team all-league guy, right? And so at the end of the day, he's going to Weber State. It's all public knowledge. And really, like, when they went after him, they did a really good job. Their new head coach called me and said, hey, we're going to really try to attack DC. He's got an extremely close relationship with Damian Lillard, GM of the Wildcats. But that doesn't mean he was going to go there. But at the end of the day, like, talking to their head coach, and I was like, hey, like, none of my business on the money and this and that. We'll do the best we can. You do the best you can. But I was like, I really care about DC. Like, what role is this? Like, the fourth spot, the first spot, the third? Like, and they're like, hey, it's going to be like the top spot, top 1-2 spot. And I was like, oh, man, yeah. What a great opportunity. And I told Coach Campbell, I was like, dude, when you bet on yourself 3 years ago, you left, had a high school job in Portland, right? Family, kids, wife, to come out here, to grind out here, right? Like, if we would have both looked in the crystal ball 3 years earlier and said, okay, if you come out here and in 3 years you're going to win a ton of games and help us in this and that and get your hands on so much stuff. But now you get to be on the ground floor of a new staff. It's a new coach at Weber, a new staff, and to be like one of these top guys that really can influence the direction of this program. It's a no-brainer, right? Like, so like it all worked itself out.
Yeah.
And so I'm so happy for him. I hate to lose him.
It's one of those bittersweet things, right? Because you hate to lose guys, but it's also part of it.
It's the goal.
You want your guys getting poached.
The goal is, because we're looking to hire that spot. Every single person that's ever been in that spot has either been promoted up in our world or, and no one's left since DC's been here, right? Reed, DG, Clope, no one's left. So there's been no opportunity to promote within. So everyone's always been promoted within or left to a better job. And you look at Clope's been in that job. Colin's been in that job. I go guys that aren't even here anymore, but they've been in that job. Columbus in that job and then promoted up to the ops job. Like, and so on and so – every single person that's been in that job has been promoted up or has gone on to a bigger and better thing. And that's the goal of coaching. He's like, can you help be a part of someone's journey to enrich and empower and better their lives? And that's exactly what happened. So I hate to lose him. I told him, I said, look, dude, it's a little weird, going in the league.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I said, it's going to be weird 2 nights a year. And it's not that big. I said, DC, I did the same thing. I was at Weber State, of all places, and left to come with Jeff Linder for a better job to be the associate coach at Northern Colorado on the ground floor. I said, I just did what you're trying to do, and it changed my life. So, like, yeah, I'm not going to hold you back, man. I mean, obviously. So, nah, he's he's landing the plane here, right? Kind of finishing things out over the next few days, and so super happy for him. And we got to go get a guy, so we're chasing that around right now, and kind of, you know, the bar is high, man, because we've seen how good DC was at it. The bar is high.
How difficult is that process in finding a coach compared to, you know, finding players?
Not difficult in the sense of everyone's dying to get into Division I basketball. Yeah. And it's a tough job. Now, this is, again, going back to the basketball and banter, this is part of the round ball. This spot is privately funded through round ball, through our camp, through things like that. And so, again, like, what's the point of me helping on the round ball? This. Look what DC did for our program.
Yeah.
Privately funded. But what's difficult is getting the right guy. It's not even like crazy out there on some of these, you know, websites and stuff. And it might get to that point where people start flooding in, but we're already actively vetting people. People are reaching out. All right, send me your resume. Even the people I know, like, assume you don't know me, send me your resume. And same thing with our staff and vetting through people and trying to figure out what's the best fit, because it's not hard to hire somebody. But is it hard to hire a guy that is a coach? Yes. But we're going to find that guy. And we've got great candidates. You know, people are reaching out. It's like, man, there's some really, you know, interesting, you know, probably, who knows, but probably the younger end, just finished a GA, just finished playing pro, just finished this, right? Like, want to get in and can survive on limited funds on this job, like limited funds, but can get in, want to be a part of something special. Obviously, our profile of winning over the last several years makes this job extremely attractive. And looking at, like, you know, again, like Coach Campbell was there and now basically head assistant Weber State, right? Awesome, right? Or boom, and there, look at Clope, look at Colin. Those guys have all been in that job and how they've promoted through at our place. So we have a track record of it might be rough. It might be financially rough. No one's getting rich in that job. But at the same point in time, look at what it could lead to.
It's a great start.
Oh, it's a great start.
And look what, you know, where a lot of these guys go.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll be sure to get updates on that, Coach, and how that search
sure.
is going.
Oh, yeah.
And then for roster spot number 14 as well. So we'll be digging into that, I'm sure, next week.
Yeah, we're really hoping roster spot 14 is done within the next 1 to 2 days, to be honest with you. Like, there's a couple of opportunities out there for a couple of young men, and they either take it or they don't. And so I think that's going to be done by this weekend. We are going to take our time, which could be 2 days, 7 weeks, to get this last coaching spot done. Because it's so much easier, you know, to hire than to, you know, like, hey, we got to find the right guy. Because that guy's got to be perfect fit for what we're looking for. So we'll take our time. But this roster, like, it's time to dance, man. You know, our guys are showing up here June 1st. It's like right now we're in preparations. Colin and I are working on our calendar. Now we have a big meeting with women's basketball and volleyball and our facilities people in like 5 days to make sure we're on the same page with how to use this gym space and these outside entities that come in to use the gym space, Point Guard College. Like, everything's got to flow together, right? Because we're doing official practice in the summertime, right?
Well, I think I came to one or two last year during the summer.
Like,
it was awesome because that's the first time I've ever taken in like it's summer happening. Basketball or summer summer practice basketball.
We're 3 weeks away from that.
That's awesome.
And
I love
camps
it.
Are hitting. And so, like, there's a lot going on right now. And, you know, truth be told, this week and the next week, and then I'm getting out of town the Memorial Day week. And right before guys get up with my family for our final kind of family trip before we start stuff, then Madden goes to Laramie right after that. So, like, we're trying to have that final. We always try to do one family trip per summer. And when we looked at the calendar, like, we probably need to do this in May as opposed to at the end, because who knows? Like, it's just so busy. So
sure.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to all the updates as we go, Coach. And, you know, even following Madden's journey along in Wyoming, too.
He's
it's
going
to be a lot of fun.
Yep. He's excited. So absolutely.
All right, my friend. We'll look for you. Stay away from those birds, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
Keep them out of the house. Right. No more wreaths.
Hey, I'm telling you, man. Like, hey.
Get a plastic one.
Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. We're going to learn.
You're going to get something different.
Don Meyer stuff. Oh, yeah.
Love it, Coach. All right, man. We'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, later.
The Two Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Attention Hoopers and parents of those Hoopers.
Summer's almost here, and that means it's time for the UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley's basketball camps at the University of Northern Colorado. These camps are designed to help athletes improve their game and skills, all led by Coach Smiley and his coaching staff and the players. There's a player development camp, a shooting and scoring camp, and more. All the fun begins in June, so register now while you still have time. Go to SteveSmileyBasketballCamps.com.